I'm not going to speak about protests at football games. It's not often that I change my message from the time it's prepared, because I usually work on it Monday afternoon, Tuesdays, and I usually bring that message because I feel that's the one for us for that day. But I was driving down Nillis Road on Wednesday, and 1:15, the Lord said, I want you to keep the theme, but I want you to change what you're going to say. Okay. So if you want me to change what you want me to say, you got to tell me. And so I was driving down Nillis writing things down. I don't recommend that. Recommend. But the thought that went through my mind, and I know he was showing it to me, was that the reason for the problems in our society today is caused by one thing. People have let their minds be captivated by everything that comes along. Think about that for a minute, though. The latest fashion. I see people walking down the street with $100 jeans with holes in them that they bought that away. And I try to find them on sale with no holes. Jason and I are the same way. But we're captivated by, we have to have, and we have to be like everyone else. I think that's part of the reason why there's a conflict with overpaid sports figures. There's a familiar verse in 2 Chronicles, verse 7 through 14, that we're all familiar with. But I want to share some verses before that and a couple verses afterward. Chronicles, 2 Chronicles 7, 11 to 16. And so Solomon finished the house, or the temple of the Lord, and the palace of the king. He successfully accomplished all that he had planned to do in the house of the Lord and in his place. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. How would you like to hear that? If I shut up the heavens so that no rain falls, or if I command locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence and plague among my people, and this is the familiar verse, and people, my people who are called by my name, humble themselves. And that's a big word for a lot of people. And pray and seek, and I love the Amplified, it says, crave, require as a necessity my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from them and hear from them from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to prayer offered in this place. For I have chosen and sanctified and set apart for my purpose this house, that my name may be here forever. And my eyes and my heart will be here perpetually. In chapter 7 of 2 Chronicles, we see God filling the temple a second time. The first response and the first filling of the temple was in response to worship, but this time it's in response to prayer. And one of the ways that the Old Testament worship was a worship of sacrifice. And when a sacrifice was altered and fire came down from heaven and consumed it, then the people knew that God had accepted their sacrifice. And that happened many times. There's examples of it happening with the priests in the Old Testament, starting with Leviticus 9 in the tabernacle. There was word of it after David's unauthorized census in 2 Chronicles. Talks about the sacrifice being consumed. In fact, Chronicles is full of the influence of David. David was instrumental in setting up worship times in Israel, getting people together to worship, made instruments for worship, and as you know, wrote so many of the Psalms that they used in worship. And so Solomon's prayer here is to pray, to ask God to come to their land, to repair their land, to repair their hearts, to repair them. And so it's answered in a tremendous way from God. And God's children hear, because he said, cry for repentance if my people will humble themselves. And then he goes on to say, I will forgive them and I will heal their land. And this was a new audience of people to God, because you remember that the first generation of the Israelite children were either destroyed or died. And then there was a period of time where God spoke in the Old Testament and said, nothing shall happen until this generation passes. And so this is actually the second group of people after the first group had forsaken God, had worshipped idols. And so one of the things that we see, and it's an unfortunate thing, is people never turn to God until there's a trial in their life. Everybody's like that. I mean, how many times have we thought, you know, we've seen things happen and we say, oh God, help me. We're all alike, and that's a prayer, don't get me wrong. But I think God is wanting us to pray before we have some crisis. But that's the main reason that people turn to God. But when people turn to God, Jesus did say, and God did say that I will heal them, I will forgive them, I will protect their land, I will forgive them. The reason for captivity was very simple. In the Old Testament, the Israelites had been warned by Solomon about the type of action that they were doing, the type of worship they were doing, but Solomon didn't heed the word, and neither did the future kings. One of the things that we saw, and when we get, you know, and I mentioned that we get things so confused and we get things so messed up, is because we are captivated by what goes on in our mind. There was a man by the name of Henry Nouwen. It's N-O-W-N-E-N. If you ever read any of his stuff, it is phenomenal. But he said, converting our unceasing thinking into unceasing prayer moves us from a self-centered monologue to a God-centered dialogue. In other words, we get the focus off of ourselves and we get the focus on God. What he's saying, I think, is that in a time that we live, or in a time that he lived, in a time that people have lived in this past 2017 years, there is a need for people to humble themselves and turn to God. If you think about it, look at the leaders of the world today, and we think about how ruthless they are. Look back over history, and we think about how ruthless Hitler was, Mussolini, Stalin, Khrushchev, you know, all of these people. Noriega down in South America, we look how evil they are. They're nothing compared to Satan. And they're nothing compared to what Satan can do in the world and can do in our lives, because it's his goal to destroy us. And so we look around and we do things that we do to protect what we have. We put a fence up to keep Molly in. We put a wedding ring up to tell the world I'm married, to protect ourselves from any impurity that may come along. We leave our homes and we go to work to provide and to protect our families. We get up on Sunday morning, we go to church, and we say to our neighbors, I've got an appointment with God. He expects to see me. He expects for me to be in his house. And so that's what we're saying to them. So there are things that we do to protect our lives and to protect those things that are around us. I realize the world's packed with stress. The world's packed with pressure. I know the last week of the month, Cindy said she's under the gun. Debbie said she's under the gun to get so much work done at the end of the month, because that's when it has to be in. And that's when it has to be completed. And so for Linda and myself, it might be hard to live with them during those times. I'm not really sure. Linda's shaking her head, yes, and I'm not shaking my head at all. But there's stress. There's things that goes on in people's lives. We see leaders today threatening each other. There was ever a time that we needed to pray for other countries as well as ours. It's now. And I don't mean, I mean intercessory prayer. The reason for captivity is simple. It was simple in the time of the Israelite children. It was simple in our time, that we let other things captivate our mind and take over our hearts. So easy for us to let things get confused. And when we let things get confused, we miss the very point of the issue, the very thing that is going on. And we radically and wrongly interpret things and say everyone else is wrong, that no one else has any idea. I shared yesterday the men's group, and we've seen it, and you may have read that someone complained to Hobby Lobby about a display with cotton. I'm sorry, folks. Get a life. And my response to Butch was, I would rather wear cotton than polyester. But we have let little simple things totally try to distort what's really going on. I heard Joel Osteen say one day, he was talking about his grandfather, and this cotton was supposed to be a symbol of racism. It said his dad picked cotton, his grandfather, excuse me, picked cotton for 20 cents a day. It's not what our minds tell us. It's not what we want our minds to tell us. People just get confused because they want everything their way. I would love to quote a guy that I used to know. He's since passed, but he had a comment about opinions. And he talked about opinions being a part of your anatomy, and I'll leave it at that. But the world is not changed by our opinions. I'll tell you in private. The world is not changed by our opinions. The world's changed by our example, by what we do, by how we do it. And if America ever needed to apply 2 Chronicles 7:14, it's today. With all of the stuff that's going on around us. Debbie read it. That's how spiritual battles are won, praying in the Spirit at all times. There are times that we don't know how to pray. There are things that we don't know that we need to pray about, frankly. And that's when we have that quiet time that we just say, Lord, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. But let your Holy Spirit intercede for me. Let him take over. Let him lead. Jesus said this in John. He says, I will do whatever you ask in my name. This I will do. And he goes on to repeat it by saying, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. The Amplified says, with all prayer and petition, pray with specific requests. In other words, be exact about what you need. And be exact in an audible voice. I don't know anyone who would want to change shoes with Paul the Apostle and go through the things that Paul went through. But he wrote these words about 62 AD when he was laying in a prison infested by rats. And it wasn't really a prison, it was more of a dungeon. But he said, with all prayer and petition, pray specific requests at all times. And the Amplified says, on every occasion and every season, in the Spirit and within this in view, stay alert with all perseverance and petition, interceding in prayer for all of God's people. Verse 19 goes on to say, and pray for me. Paul's saying, would you pray for me? I'm here in this dungeon. Pray for me, that words may be given to me, that I, when I open my mouth to proclaim boldly the mystery of God's good news of salvation. We have a lot to do in the world today. We have a lot of things that take our time. But we have to stay alert to what God is calling us to do, what God is telling us to do. And we said on a couple different occasions, and Greg touched on it, mentioned it this morning, there might be a time when we're not even ready to pray for someone that God says, I want you to just speak to them. I want you to pray for them. I want you to put your hand around their back, your arm around their back, and just say, are you doing okay? Because we don't know a lot of times how people are doing. Because if you ask me how I'm doing, I'm going to tell you, okay. I may be lying to you sometimes, but that's what I'm going to tell you. Because that's just the way I am. There are daily responsibilities that people have, preparing dinner, going to work, taking care of ourselves, spending quality time with our families. There's an interesting verse found in Psalm, and I think it's worth taking a look at today when we talk about prayer. Psalm 78:41 says, yea, they turned their back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. We need to keep in mind that we get what we pray for. Because what did he say? He said, you ask anything in my name. And then he went on to say, again, you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So be careful what you pray for. There's a story in the Old Testament about people getting what they didn't need. And so sometimes we can pray for things and get what we don't need. Well, how can that happen? Well, God went through a period of time when he led the children of Israel by a cloud in the day and a pillar of smoke. And yet they wanted a king. They wanted a king to lead them. And he told them it's a bad idea. It's almost a bad idea because he was their king. He was their God. He was their leader. But they rejected God. And he tells Samuel, listen to the voice of the people in all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you or Samuel, because they were going to Samuel wanting a king. But what God goes on to say, they have rejected me from being king over them. He was their king. They didn't need a king. We had an interesting quote this week from a guy named John Golden Gay. He said, God starts with his people where they are. If they cannot cope with his highest, he carves out a lower one. When they do not respond to the Spirit of Yahweh, or when all sorts of spirits lead them into anarchy, he provides the institutional safeguard of earthly rulers. And that's what he did to them, because they wouldn't respond to the higher level of God's calling. But they wanted a king to lead them. So what he did is he carved out a god for them, in essence, and gave them a king, which is what they wanted. But you know what? It didn't take them long to find out that what they had prayed for was not what they really wanted. Because it was not long before they got, you know, they were praying for God to take away the king. And I think those words are important not only for the church, but they're important for a nation. They're important for a business. They're important for anything. In our fallen world, there is such an abuse of power that people have. I shared yesterday with the men's group about a Facebook post that somebody had put on as a friend I went to high school with. It's still a friend, but not a Facebook friend. Because what I thought was wrong. What she thought was right. And so therefore I'm wrong. I have an opinion. Earl has an opinion. We may disagree on opinions, but we can still be friends. But I'm not going to tell him he's wrong. Because Earl thinks he's right, even though he's wrong. No, I'm just kidding. But that seems to be what the mentality is today. That you can only be right. You can only be that away. And so I thought about this, and we need to be careful what we pray for. There's a story in the New Testament about Peter out in the boat and Jesus walking on the water, and he said, "Hey, Peter, come on out here." And so Peter probably reluctantly puts his feet in the water and starts to walk, and then he says, "Well, if it be you." Peter would have been better off. He would have just said, "Lord, is it your will I walk on water?" So many people today are looking for a word from God, trying to get that exact word, and the majority of things that God's going to tell us is found in a book called the Holy Bible. Now, I'm not going to tell you that he didn't tell me what he told me the other day on Nellis Road, because he will speak to us, and he will direct us. But we need to pray expecting God to answer our prayers and not limit God and not limit what God can do. A lot of people today think that God puts a leash around their neck like we put a leash around Molly and take her for a walk. They think that God's going to yank them back. They think they've got an imaginary ring in their nose and he's got it hooked to something, and if they ask for something too big, he's going to snap it and you're going to get hurt. But what he said in Psalm 78, if we look at that, they limited God. God didn't limit God. And so we limit God so many times by not speaking boldly and speaking out. There are three things that you get from the benefit of prayer. The first one is prayer gives us power. We need to think big. No matter what it is in our life, whatever the mountain is, speak to the mountain in the name of Jesus, because that's what he's saying to do. You have the power to change the situation. You have the power to totally and radically change things. It gives us protection. As I mentioned earlier, there's a character running around the earth called Satan. It's out to try to destroy whomever he can, and will destroy whomever he can. But there's also heavenly bodies walking through the earth looking for who they can protect. And that's those angels that we talked about. That's the Holy Spirit walking around and watching over us and taking care of us. And the third one, it leads to provision. One of the things that provision is answered prayer. And God answers those prayers when we speak in power, when we speak in faith, when we speak in belief. He will answer that prayer. But he wants us to come boldly. He wants to take the limits off of whatever we need and think and pray big. Because after all, he is a big God. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful for this day, and we're thankful, Father, for the many blessings in our lives and the many things that you do for us. Lord, help us to think big. Help us to expect big. Help us to look for big things to come along. Help us to take the limits off of you and let God be God. In your name we pray. Amen.